But neither of those two errors are what I'm talking about when I say he's walking under the influence of Calvinism. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm not even talking about those two. The influence I'm referring to is the fact that John Calvin taught the same thing Mr. Lumley teaches with regards to who is responsible for what in our salvation. Just like Mr. Lumley says, Calvin taught that God does it all. He taught that God must do it all, you see, because if we have any part in it, we will be stealing glory from God. We will be stealing glory from God if we can say we had any part in our redemption. And that's precisely what Steve Lumley teaches, precisely. He says over and over again that we all want to do something. We all want to do something to bring about our own perfection or produce righteousness in our lives. And that's our flesh. Our flesh wants to take the credit for what God does. The flesh wants the glory, okay? That's Calvinism, my friends. That is Calvinism. That's a doctrine of Calvin and of all the Reformation leaders. And don't let anybody tell you it's not. If they do, they're a liar. Either they're lying purposely or else they don't know what they're talking about. Now, I don't have time tonight to explain why that whole view is a lie. Maybe I'll explain it some other time. If you're interested, I can explain it. That error and all the ramifications of it. My point is simply that Mr. Lumley's fundamental position regarding our responsibility in redemption is precisely the view that John Calvin espoused. And that's why I say it's on the influence of Calvinism. And that's not my opinion, it's a fact. And by the way, Mr. Lumley's response, when I warned him that some of his core beliefs were Calvinistic, was this. He said he didn't really know or care what John Calvin taught. And if John Calvin believed what he believes, then John Calvin was right. That was his whole approach to thing. He don't care what John Calvin taught. If John Calvin believes that he is, then John Calvin's right. That's all he cares about. Not too egocentric, is it? Now, before we proceed with the final clip, I want to say very clearly that God expects us to obey the commandments he gave us in the New Testament, whether we feel like obeying them or not. He expects us to obey those commandments, whether we have it in our hearts to obey them or not. Just because you still have it in your heart to look at pornography on your computer, that's no excuse for continuing in that sin. God expects you to stop practicing that wickedness now, immediately. That is your responsibility, not his. Yes, of course, only God can deliver somebody from the evil desire for pornography. Of course, that's true. Only God can take that desire out of somebody. Stop practicing it. If they can't stop practicing it, they should at least try with all their might to stop practicing it. That's our responsibility. It's also our responsibility to ask God to deliver us from that desire. And if we don't have a desire to get delivered, to put a desire in there to get delivered. That's our responsibility again. That's not God's responsibility. Now, I just want to say this very clearly. If you follow the false grace that Mr. Lumley is preaching, it's going to take you 30 years to get delivered from things that you could be delivered from in 3 months had you done your part in the battle. I will say it again. So everybody listen to this thing. I know you guys in this room aren't listening to him right now, but there's people listening to my thing on the website. They're still listening to his teachings. If you follow the grace that Steve Lumley of Apostasy Watch is preaching, it's going to take you 30 years to get delivered from things that you can be delivered from in 3 months if you only do your part in the battle. This last clip goes back to this idea that we have no right to judge the behavior or the conduct of other believers because we have to let them progress spiritually at their own pace. It goes back to this whole thing that when they don't like what you're saying to them, they don't want to be corrected, they don't want to be challenged, they say, hey, each man will stand or fall before his own master. Who are you to judge another man's servant? As I said, that's just an excuse that people use when they don't want anybody correcting them, and they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. Now, while trying to make the point that we shouldn't judge each other because we're all on the same path, we're all just different places on the path, and we don't know what God... I'm making that point. Mr. Lumley recounted a letter he received some time ago from a well-meaning person who was trying to put him under some kind of legalistic bondage. And I'm sure that when he told that story, everyone in that room empathized with him and thought the person he was talking about who wrote that letter was some kind of religious Pharisee. But the question is that true? Was he presenting the right, the correct thing, or was he putting a spin on that whole story? Okay, let's listen to the story first.
Quote, I got a letter here, I don't know, a year ago, maybe more than that, I don't remember exactly, from a person who used to listen to us. I don't think they listen to us much anymore. But this person sent me a letter and just excoriated me, I mean just ripped into me, because I would occasionally on these broadcasts make a little joke about watching a football game. And I would joke about this from time to time. And you know, I'm not trying to keep anything, any big dark secret. You know, after the broadcast on Sunday morning during the football season, I'll generally fix myself a sandwich and turn on the football game. But this person wrote me a letter, a well-meaning person, but this person wrote me a letter and told me that I should be ashamed of myself, ashamed for even joking about something like football, that this was such a worldly thing, that I should be ashamed of this, and I should be on my knees day and night crying out to God to deliver me from this horrible thing. Now, this was not, I was not engaged in some great sin, although maybe this person saw it as a great sin. You know, this was not, I was not out lying or stealing or cheating on my wife or something like this. And it was not about correcting me in doctrine either. This was not about, brother, I think you're wrong in your interpretation of this doctrine. You know what this was? This was someone attempting to lay a burden on me that the Lord had not put on me. This was someone who expected me to live up to their expectations. And in their eyes, this was a horrible thing for a minister of the gospel to admit that they liked football. Or it could be any sport, it doesn't matter. Now, what this person didn't understand is how little these things mean to me today versus maybe what they meant to me 20 years ago or 15 years ago. See, this person did not understand how far the Lord has brought me in that respect to where I can kind of joke about it today because it's not a big deal. You know, this is why sometimes I think pastors and teachers get in trouble, because they can't be transparent. They don't feel like they can be transparent with people. They feel like if they reveal any little flaw or what someone perceives as a flaw, someone's going to not like it or be offended or whatever. But you know, this is Romans 14:4 says, "Who are you to judge another man's servant? Unto his own master he stands or falls." See, this person was trying to lay a burden on me that the Lord had not put on me. Can we do this? Can we allow other people to grow and to be brought to perfection and to maturity at their own pace? Or at the pace the Lord has for them? Can we do that? Are you willing to allow me to grow and reach maturity at whatever pace the Lord is dealing with me at? Or am I not getting there fast enough for you? Or are you not getting there fast enough for me? You see, I know this person would not agree with what I'm saying here, but what they were doing is they were putting a law on me, and they were trying to get me to bring myself to a greater level of maturity by my own efforts. See, even telling me, oh, you need to get on your knees day and night and cry out to God until he delivers you from this. You know what? That's not in my heart to do that. Until the Lord changes my heart, all I'm doing is whistling in the wind.
Well, I can guarantee you that everybody in that room fell for that line 100%. Can we all just let each other grow at our own pace and not try and put each other's bondage on? Anyway, I believe the person he was referring to, who excoriated him and ripped into him, was none other than my mother, unless he received two identical letters around that same time concerning that same situation, which is possible. But even if the letter he's referring to was not the one my mother sent him, you can be sure his opinion of the one my mother sent him would certainly match his opinion of the one that he's referring to, because she said basically the same thing, much the same thing that he said there. Now, the reason she wrote him, not because he was doing such a great sin, watching football such a great sin for anybody. He was making a mockery of the message he was preaching. See, the main message of Apostasy Watch is taking up your cross and following the Lord. The main message of Steve Lumbly is all about putting the flesh to death in order to come forth in Christ, right? So it's pretty hypocritical to get behind a mic twice a week and tell your followers to die to self and to quit walking in the flesh while knowingly indulging in the flesh yourself and not even caring about it and making a joke about it on top of it. Okay, this isn't a situation something displeasing to God. Of course, unless Mr. Lumley doesn't consider doing fleshly things displeasing. Maybe he thinks God doesn't care if we get in our flesh and submit to the flesh. I don't know. This isn't a situation where someone was battling something they knew was wrong and they were ashamed of the fact that they were still indulging in something that, you know, was displeasing the Lord. He got on and admitted it was flesh. He knew it was flesh. He knew it was given into flesh. And he was proud of it. He was proud of it. He thought it was funny that he was given into his flesh. He admitted it was given into his flesh. He admitted it was flesh. And he laughed about it. So every week, right after telling other people they better not give into their flesh, he would do that. He would do that. He would go to give his flesh. And he'd go on and say how funny it is. And everybody in the room thought it was funny too. They laughed right along with him. You know, by his own admission, he wasn't even asking God to deliver him from something he knew was a work of the flesh. Why? Because it wasn't in his heart to do that. He had no desire to get that out of his heart. He had no desire to stop doing that fleshy thing. Is this the way a minister of the gospel is supposed to behave? You think this is the way Paul and Peter and James walked? If it was, then I can assure you, many of the things they wrote would have had to be worded very differently. Instead of simply saying, for instance, for this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication in 1 Thessalonians, Paul would have had to add to that, if it's in your heart to do so. Instead of simply saying, pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to keep himself unspotted from the world, and if football ain't the world, nothing is. If you don't think professional and college football, it comes from the spirit of the world, you need to have your eyes opened. So when James said that, keep yourself unspotted from the world, he would have had to also add, but only if it's in your heart to do so, to keep yourself unspotted. Instead of simply saying, be sober, be vigilant, the Apostle Peter would have had to add, but only if it's in your heart to be sober. Only if it's in your heart to be vigilant. I've got news for all the Steve Lumbleys in this world. Committing adultery, or fornication, or idolatry, or uncleannesses, or lasciviousness, witchcraft, table, whatever, all those things in those lists. If that's not in your heart, then I suggest you get it in your heart before you go out into eternity, or else you're going to end up in hell. You're going to end up cut off from Christ forever. This ain't no joke. Oh, yes, the whole thing with watching football, that was a big funny joke, wasn't it? I bet Mr. Lumbly really had a lot of fun. He had a great time getting behind that mic every Sunday, talking about walking in righteousness, and talking about walking in holiness, and talking about putting the flesh to death, and talking about not living in the flesh, only to put the mic down and engage in something he knew full well was flesh. And he didn't even care. He was being a hypocrite. And what in the world's wrong with the people in that room who encouraged that kind of hypocrisy? What kind of people are in that room? You think this is some kind of religious game? Do you think God doesn't really care when you make a mockery of his holiness? When you walk in hypocrisy like that, you think you're going to go into the Holy of Holies, into the very presence of Almighty God, dragging your filthy entertainment and your lust and your sports with you in there? Don't people realize this kind of thing is what kindles the anger and wrath of God? This kind of thing is what makes God turn people over to strong delusion. The fact is, God was very displeased. God, not me, not Annabelle Finney, God was very displeased with the kind of hypocrisy Mr. Lumbly was walking in and bragging about openly. When he made a big joke of giving into his flesh and watching football, and all his groupies may have been laughing with him, but I can assure you, God wasn't laughing. And since he was blind to the fact that he was making a mockery of the message of death to self that he was preaching, the Lord had to put on someone else's heart, who wasn't blind, to confront him about it and call him to repentance. So you see, there's two possible ways you can view that whole event. You can view it like he views it, which is a lie, and he spun it as a lie. Or you can view it the way it really was, which is that because of his arrogant foolishness and blindness, God had to use someone else to correct him, to confront him. But that wasn't even the whole story. That's not even the whole story. Mr. Lumbly's problem with football goes a lot deeper than just being a problem with his flesh. Football was his idol. It was his idol. How do I know that? Because he exposed his idolatry the first time I visited him. I'm going to tell you this little story, because you need to understand the kind of person you're listening to if you listen to him. 1,000 miles to visit Steve Lumbly in his home the weekend he introduced me on his Friday evening chat room. And when I called him to make arrangements to visit him that weekend, he told me up front that we could have some fellowship on Friday evening and on Saturday evening after 5. But Saturday afternoon he would be busy because he had already made plans for that afternoon. Oh, I didn't think anything of that. That was fine. I was just glad to be able to see him at all. So we drove down there, drove 1,000 miles to see him. We had our Friday night fellowship, and he introduced me on his little chat room. Then Saturday morning and Saturday afternoon, the brother who was with me, we went out and we toured the city. We arrived at Lumbly's home about 5 minutes after 5 o'clock. He said, don't come till 5. So I was 5 minutes after. To find that he was glued to his TV set watching a football game. The game had gone into overtime, which he hadn't anticipated. He assumed that game would be over by the time we arrived. That was the plans he had for that day. To him, watching football, that football game was more important than spending time with a couple of brothers who traveled thousands of miles, 1,000 miles to see him. I was going to say hundreds of miles. 900-some miles to see him. Now, if you don't think that's something wrong with that, you got a problem. Now, after we arrived, and the jig was up, after we arrived, we find out, you know, he didn't want us over there in the afternoon because he wanted to watch his football game. You'd think he'd at least apologize or do something, turn that game off, you know, and get out of that thing at least, you know. But no. Nothing can interfere with the great football god, baby. Everything must be set aside until the game is over. All life stops until the game is over. And so it was. After we arrived, we had to sit there for 20 minutes and watch the end of that game with him. Now, I think sports is an abomination right now. I think anybody's pressing the holiness is involved in that kind of sports is crazy. But my friend, my brother, he's not like that. My brother's not against sports at all. And he has a couple of boys who are teenagers, and they do sports in school, and he watches baseball, and he watches basketball occasionally. He's not against sports at all. But he couldn't believe how rude, and quite frankly, it stumbled him. And I recommended the Apostate Watch Bible study to this brother a few weeks before that studies. But after that visit, he wanted nothing more to do with Steve Lumley ever again. I could never convince him that Steve Lumley wasn't just another minister, and just another talking head who talks a good talk but doesn't do the walk. He was stumbled. He stumbled that brother. He didn't stumble me, of course. I wasn't stumbled. I didn't hold a grudge or anything like that, you know, because I spent the whole next year attending those Bible studies then. And I saw that he didn't see anything wrong with what he did. That's how blind he was. Saw nothing wrong with that whole thing. So I knew where he was spiritually right then, but it didn't bother me. I wasn't mad or anything like that. But I did know, and it was very real, it's very clear, beyond a shadow of a doubt, that football was an idol in that man's life. Idol. Okay? It was more than flesh. It was an idol. So when he just grabbed a little sandwich and watched a little football game on Sundays like it was no big deal, he's lying. He's lying to them, whether he realizes he's lying or not. Because idolatry is a big deal in God's eyes. Big enough to get you sent to hell. Now listen, people. If you're going to set yourself up as a teacher to the body of Christ, and you're going to preach death to self and preach walking in holiness, then you better at least try to walk in that message you're preaching. It's not a laughing matter to play the hypocrite and then joke about it publicly. And I promise you, if you engage in that kind of foolishness, don't be surprised if God sends someone your way to expose you and call you to repentance. Now, I'm going to read a couple of verses of Scripture here in closing. James 4:8 says this, "And you, cleanse your hands, ye sinners, and purify your hearts, ye double-minded." 1 Thessalonians 5:14-22 says this, "Now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly, comfort the feeble-minded, support the weak, be patient towards all men, see that none render evil for evil unto any man, but ever follow that which is good, both among yourselves and unto all men. Rejoice evermore, pray without ceasing, and everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Quench not the spirit, despise not prophesying, prove all things, hold fast that which is good, abstain from all appearance of evil." And 1 Thessalonians, "Let us watch and be sober." Now I want you to consider very carefully the things James and Paul instructed us to do in the above passage. And then understand that the New Testament is full of these kinds of admonitions and commandments. If the apostles didn't think we could do those things, if they didn't think we were responsible to do them, they would have never told us to do them. They would have said the same thing Mr. Lumley says. They would have said, let God do all these things for you. They would have said, we are telling you to do these things, but in reality we know you can't do them, so don't even try to do them. We forgot to do them in you. Somebody's lying here, people. Either Scripture's lying or Mr. Steve Lumley is lying. Now, everyone who hears this message has a choice to make. You can choose to believe what the Scripture actually says, or you can choose to believe what Mr. Lumley says the Scripture says, which is just the opposite of what it actually says. And believe me, it's no skin off my back if you choose to follow that man's error. You're the one who's going to miss God. You're the one who's going to miss what God's ordained for you. I'm not going to do this anymore. I felt to do this one more time to expose this lie. Let it be known this day, everybody hears my voice, you have been warned, he's preaching deception. And that's what I had to share tonight. And it wasn't pleasant, and I don't take any joy in doing it. Believe me. Hang on a second. Looks like Mom wants to share something here. She's standing in the doorway here.
Hi, everybody. I was a little stirred up when I found out about how, when I realized how Steve really, he put a false spin on that letter. And I know it was my letter for some of the things he said. And I want to tell you, he put a very false spin on it. In the first place, the main reason I wrote that letter was because the day that I wrote that letter, when he was on his program, someone, a brother or a sister, told him that they felt God was speaking, that they were going to give up their TV, take TV out of their home. And his answer was, "Oh, Don't take TV out. Football's coming up. You don't want to miss that. Well, you know, I down through the years, I have met quite a lot of people that God has spoken to take TV out of their home because it was hindering their walk in Him. And so something rose up within me, and I thought, how dare he? How does he know it isn't the Holy Spirit speaking to that man? How can he take that so lightly? Now, as far as his baseball, I knew about this thing when Daniel went to visit him, and his friend talked to me about it and said he was very put out about him putting football because he was in that brother was in need. And Daniel told him it was a brother that's in need, and I feel I'm going to take him along on this trip. Maybe we can be helping. And he to him to watch his football game than to talk to that brother 3 or 4 extra hours while they were there about his need. At that time, the time I wrote this letter, I was very much a part of Steve's ministry. I was supporting him in prayer and financially. And I felt very, very free, very close enough to him to tell him what I thought about his remark about his football and about this man's TV, and that maybe God's, and I told him about some of my friends who I know, as far as me, him saying that the person wanted him to stop playing football because they were convicted of it. I never liked football even before I was saved, so that's a lie. However, I do have friends that liked football and were wrapped up in it, and when they got saved, anyone with a real true mind has to know that football has become an idolatry in America. It has taken the place of God and many, many things, family and all. And because of that, they felt that God would have them not even bother with football games. And because Steve is supposed to be a teacher of death to self and going on to perfection and the high calling, pressing into the high calling of God, I suggested that maybe it would be best if he asked the Lord to deliver him. And that's how I said it. I didn't tell him to get on his knees and beg God. That was a lie from the pit of hell. You know what? Steve Lumley is a liar. Oh, he's a liar and don't even know it half the time. Now, I'm telling him that right here, and I hope he hears this. I don't know if he ever listens to any of Dan's things on Monday, but I hope he hears this, because it really made me upset, the spin he put on that letter, that I was a horrible person. I knew 6 months or a year before what he did to that young man, that he denied him a help for 3 or 4 extra hours because of his football game. I never said anything to him or anyone else, and I never said anything to anyone else. I said it to him. I said it to him, and I know the Spirit of God was grieved because I prayed about it for a day and a night before I did it. And I talked to 3 or 4 other people that I know. So I feel that that letter was of God. And the only thing Steve should have done as a teacher of the Word of God was to say, well, was to tell me he got blessed with my letters. So maybe you are talking to me. Maybe I will make it a matter of prayer. I'm not going to follow this lady and stop watching football. But maybe the Spirit of God is speaking to me to ask you if it would be pleasing to you if I laid down that football. But being the man he is, the proud, proud man he is, he couldn't do anything like that. I stand too before God tonight telling you that Steve Lumley preaches error along with his truth. He's preaching truth in unrighteousness. He preaches error along with his truth. And I stand before the God that I will answer to for saying that. I want to know that I stood up and gave a warning to anyone that heard my voice that that man preaches error along with his truth. And I just am very stirred up about him tonight, as you can see. But I do want to say this. You know, when I was listening to him, he kept saying, we need not that any man teach us, but the knowing that is within us will teach us all things. That's fine, and that's true. But there's another side to that, and he never tells you the other pastors and evangelists. He always only gives you one side and never rightly divides the word and gives you the other side for you to make your choice. He wants you to believe the thoughts that he's getting. And I want to tell you, he is hearing from another spirit as well as the Holy Spirit. He is hearing from it. And we have been admonished in the word to bring every thought into subjection to Christ, for not for a vain purpose, but because God knew that the devil would try to give us thoughts and come as an angel of light and say that it's the Lord. And I know he does listen to other spirits. I know that. And I'm not afraid to say that. I'm not afraid to answer to God that I said that, because You may just think this is gossip and tearing down a brother, or else you can think it is putting iron in me to stand up for the truth. I believe it's the latter. And I'm sorry if I offended anyone, I'm sorry. But the truth is the truth, and I love you guys, and shalom.
Okay, there you have it. And now, like I said, I'm not going to go through this again. I don't care what anybody does. I have a burden because there were still some people coming to my room who's listening to Steve. And as long as they come to my room, I care that they're hearing garbage. I care that they're hearing lies. I care that they're hearing false doctrine in that other room. I can't help but caring. But I'm going to ask the Lord to take it off my heart and not care. When I know somebody's listening to error, I want to help them get out of there. But, you know, if you're going to keep choosing to listen to that kind of stuff, then you really deserve what you're going to get. That's all I can say. I think that was it. Anybody have anything you'd like to share or say anything to that? Or add to it or ask questions or whatever. Challenge me. You think I'm not right? You think I'm wrong for doing that or whatever? Go ahead. K-Man says I was a follower of the New England Patriots for years until they lost the Super Bowl to the New York Giants. And I did not know how much I was attached to the football, but for over 2 weeks I could not sleep because of the loss. That was when I began to wean myself from sports. I'm not the adventurer. That's good. That's good. And listen, I'm not saying sports is wrong for every Christian. I'm saying if you're preaching death to self, if you're preaching going to the high calling, if you're preaching walking in holiness, I mean, you can't be involved, addicted to sports like that. That's an idol. It's a god in this land. It's a terrible, terrible wickedness. Professional sports is wickedness. And anybody is supposedly going to the high calling, supposedly pressing towards perfection, spiritual maturity, going to the Holy of Holies, all that kind of stuff, you got no business being involved in that kind of stuff. Sorry. That is the world. And you think you're going to drag that stuff into the Holy of Holies? You're going to get burned up like Nadab and Abihu. Okay, anyway. So nobody has anything. Nobody has any comments or anything. Hang on a second. Sissy looks like, well, Sissy wants to speak. Go ahead, Sissy. You got the mic.
Thanks, Brother Dan. I hope everybody can hear me. Give me a one if you can. I'm going to tell you, Brother Dan, this has really been a blessing to me tonight in many ways. But I look back over my life, and I can tell you the struggles that I have come through. And I cried many a tear, and I repented, and I just came before the Lord. I cried out to the Lord. And I asked him to help me where I couldn't succeed and where I couldn't, you know, overcome. And he did help me. But I had to fall on my knees before him. I had to cry out to him. I mean, it's not like, I wasn't sitting on the couch and you know, watching soap operas. That's not the way it works. And but God is an awesome God. And he's brought me through, and he's still bringing me through. I'm going through some stuff right now. I'm not even going to begin to tell you. The attacks on me have been horrible this week. But the Lord is faithful. And, you know, I just go before him, fall on my knees, cry out to him. And he gives me the strength and the power to overcome. Pray for me right now. All of a sudden, I've got a pounding headache. It had me this week. I need your prayers right now. And I give it over the mic. Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Thanks for sharing, Sissy. We're going to pray for you right now. Lord Jesus, we come to you, and we ask you right now to help Sister Sissy with this, whatever's going on in their head, Lord. We just ask you to bind whatever's going on, to deliver from it, show what it is, show how to get rid of it, whatever it takes. Do something in her life, Lord. Help her get rid of this thing that's tormenting her, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Please help her, Lord. Where can we go but to you, Lord? You're the only one who knows what's going on. You're the only one who has the power to deliver. Amen. Just keep her in prayer this week, folks. She's going through something in her life, and she needs the prayer of the saints. Thank you for sharing, Sissy. God bless you. All righty. Well, anybody else have anything? Whoops, looks like we got Kim. Go ahead, Kim, you got the mic.
Hi, can you guys hear me? Okay, I just wanted to read a scripture, Ephesians 4, 17 through 24. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth not walk as other Gentiles walk, in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him, and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. That's all.
Okay, thanks for sharing that. That's a good scripture. All right. Anybody else have anything? Last call. Okay, thanks, Harold or Judy, whoever that is. God bless you. Well, thanks for coming. And God willing, we'll see you next week, all right? Have a good week.